damn it, Nero.
What'd he say?
Nero changed my title, but now he changed it to Associate Hamza.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
I don't want to email him and be like, seriously, though.
Give it a couple of days. It might just be like a...
Just fucking with me for a second thing?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of doubt it, but it might be that.
Is this the part where I'm supposed to talk? Because it's my show?
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Brett Makedonsky Show. Today, we have Associate Editor Darren Nakamura, and we have local sexy boy Kyle McGregor.
Hi.
Now, Kyle, you recently got your E3 haircut, didn't you?
I did.
Tell us how that went.
I'm not fond of it. The hairdresser basically listened to my input and then did the exact opposite.
Yeah, it's a garbage haircut, Kyle. But
that's pretty harsh.
I actually haven't seen it, but
I had to go to another place and they kind of fixed it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I've never, even when I get bad haircuts, I've never done that. I've heard of people doing that, but
I was just not happy.
I feel like my hair, I usually get it cut short enough that if I wanted somebody to fix it, the alternative would be like, I'm going to shave your head.
Okay.
So, but Kyle, you your big thing was you told her not to cut above your eyebrows, and she totally cut above your eyebrows,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that led to a little exchange this morning at the crepe stand where someone told you that your eyebrows were on fleek.
What?
She wouldn't have been able to see your eyebrows otherwise. They probably wouldn't have been on fleek, but
that's true.
Because of that, they are.
I think I need to take a trip to Urban Dictionary or something.
This is an actual term.
Oh, Kyle.
On fleek is a term for eyebrows that look good.
Is it an eyebrow exclusive term?
That's the origin of the term, but I believe it has since devolved or kind of evolved in the sense that slang does to kind of apply to more things besides eyebrows. But I believe on fleek particularly means eyebrows.
I mean, so could you be like, that dude's butt is on fleek if he has a real nice butt? Or would it extend to like, yo, my ice cream cone is on fleek, my grandma's pillbox is on fleek?
It might.
I need help. I don't understand the kids. I don't pretend to understand the kids or the crepe ladies.
Yeah, she was an interesting cat.
I'm sick of hosting. Kyle, you should host. I'm bad at this.
No, I'm enjoying how this is going. Darren, have you Urban Dictionary to your heart's content?
No, I actually haven't been doing that. I've been playing Quasi Cupcakes.
What?
What's that? Tell me.
Explain this game. What is Quasi Cupcakes?
Do either of you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, but no. I'm missing Hannibal to do this podcast, so don't talk about TV, because I'm upset.
Okay. All right, so if I'm going to not talk about TV but describe this game, it was a fictionalized version of Candy Crush on not a TV show that I watch, but they actually got some developers to come together and make it. It's a match three puzzler, but it's got cupcakes, and I don't know, it's actually kind of good.
It's good? It's not just like fan service?
I mean, it's a good match three puzzler.
Fan service, you say?
As far as that goes.
So there's anime boobs.
There are no anime boobs. There's a koala, and he has a speech impediment.
Hold on.
He says...
Kyle, just because you're a fan of anime boobs doesn't mean that everyone's a fan of anime boobs.
No, there's like multiple definitions of fan service, and a lot of people in like the Japanophile community would say that fan service just means big anime boobs.
Just like kind of lowest common denominator, like they threw that in. Oh, like that's all this has.
This is a fan service RPG. Versus just like a normal one.
Interesting. All right. Well,
the kind of shitty games that Steven says are shitty that I review.
Steven says that all video games are shitty and all other things are shitty. And I don't think I've ever heard him talk about something that was made, I don't know, like 2010 and beyond that's good.
Was Valkyria Chronicles made in 2010?
I couldn't tell you when that was made. I know Bushido Blade is older than that.
I kind of feel like that about music sometimes. Like, I'm not sure if I bought a record since high school. That might make me an old man. Or the fact that I have records makes me an old man.
That too.
We just went through this in our chat room the other day when Jordan and maybe one other person were talking about a song that sounds like Talk Dirty to Me by Poison, but it's not. Talk Dirty by Jason Derulo.
Jason Derulo.
I've never heard that song before yesterday.
How does it go?
I can't remember. I listened to it once and I said the trombone is kind of cool. Otherwise, this is a garbage song. And Jordan was taken aback that I had never heard it before because it is everywhere. And I was like, dude, I like sit in my own little bubble where I just keep listening to like the same alternative records from the 90s that I love.
You're all about that yellow card.
Yeah, I absolutely am all about that yellow card. I went to the College World Series in 2006, and they opened up the College World Series like the day before with a free concert in the Rosenblatt, Omaha, Nebraska parking lot, and that was a real good show. I like yellow card.
I can't tell if you're being serious or not.
How would I make that up? I fucking love yellow card, dude.
Okay. We should drive down to Ocean Avenue when we go to E3 in a couple weeks.
I just spent an entire week on Ocean Avenue.
You did. You probably did. Yeah.
That's where Judges Week takes place.
When we go, I want to take everyone down to the Santa Monica Pier and for my Super Mario Bros. Versus on that arcade machine.
The one where the buttons are sticky and the stick is buttony.
Yeah. Is that my best line of my whole life?
That's my favorite line that you've ever written, yeah.
Yeah.
So at Judges Week, Jordan and I took a little bit of time to walk over to the Santa Monica Pier and specifically to the arcade because I wanted to play some skee-ball. And Jordan consistently beat me at skee-ball by just a few points across like maybe three games or something like that. But then we went over to air hockey and I beat Jordan in both games of air hockey that we played. So, and I would say that air hockey is like the more important of those games, right? Tell me I'm Jordan. Tell me I'm better than Jordan.
I know growing up as a kid, always competing with my sister, we were always way more competitive with air hockey than with skee ball. Because skee ball is like, it's like bowling where you don't really have to be even playing against someone, right? It's sort of you're just trying for the best score. But
yeah, you can air get, hockey, you can get it's, tickets, it's, though. You can get tickets.
Yeah, and you can measure yourself against somebody and see who did better, but you could also not do that and still play skee ball. But you can't, like, air hockey is inherently a competitive thing.
And you're also trying to, like, break each other's knuckles and stuff.
Yeah, it's also more violent. Like, it's very fast, and you can take a puck to the face if you're not careful.
So Jordan just about shot a puck up into our neighbor's face. And he was a dude that was bigger than both of us, and that would have been amazing. But it, like, just missed him and shot past the pinball, and I had to crawl under a pinball machine on this dirty fucking Santa Monica Pier, like, arcade to retrieve the puck. It was pretty great.
What else are you playing, Darren?
I don't know that I've... Besides
Quasi Quash.
Quasi Cupcakes.
Quasi Cupcakes. Is it spelled with, like, a W in there?
It's Kwazy. And then cupcakes is normal.
I was wondering if you just like turned into a 3-year-old or something.
No, it's spelled like that. What else have I been playing? I just got Splatoon in the mail today, so I'm going to start playing that, but I haven't.
Hey, we should play together.
Should we?
And then we cannot talk to one another.
We could just stay
on Skype.
Or we could boot up our PlayStation 4s, start a party, leave those running in the background to be super environmentally friendly, then turn on our Wii U's on top of that. It'll be great.
Or we could boot up our PS4s, start a party, and then just play The Last of Us like we usually do.
That's every day, though.
Yeah.
Join us, Brett.
I don't have a PS4 yet. I don't really... Everyone else has a PS4, so there's not a ton of reason for me to have a PS4.
Yeah. You get to review all those hot Xbox One exclusives like Roundabout.
Roundabout was good. I really liked Roundabout. And it was... We should have reviewed it on PC 6 months before it came out on Xbox One, but nobody did.
And now it's on PlayStation 4, full circle. Except for Wii U.
Get it full circle? Like, because Roundabout... Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's the joke.
So what about you, Brett?
What have I been up to?
Has anyone said that you're on fleek?
Yeah. I get told quite... My mom texts me and tells me I'm on fleek. My dad sends me singing telegrams to tell me I'm on fleek. What have I been doing? I don't even know what I've been doing. Since I got back from Judges Week, I've been working on a lot of previews, and then I'm just kind of like working on the build up to E3 because I'm just kind of caught in between those two things. And like, I don't think I'm playing any games right now. Chris was going to have me review the new Lego game, but I'm not anymore.
Is he doing it?
Ben is. He wants Ben to give it a shot, especially since like it comes out basically when I leave for E3. So
that's no good.
I would have to start playing it like a week and a half later. So he's like, I'm just going to give it to Ben. And it seems like, I mean, it's like Ben's like a super happy, nice dude, and Lego games are super happy, nice games. So I imagine that they'll be in.
I can't wait for him to just like shit all over it.
Yeah, he just gets real mean. He's like, this is fucking garbage. This is.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't like, Ben is our new Chad. I don't think I've heard Ben say a bad thing about anything ever.
His like opinions range from this is amazing and this is amazing.
I'm glad we have someone like that though, because it's good to celebrate.
The rest of us are just jaded.
He kind of offsets my pessimism. I wrote a post today that's gonna go live in minutes, so it'll obviously be up by the time the podcast goes up. But the post is about like it's this Little Big Planet styled the Order 1886 statue, and I compared it to the clones in Alien Resurrection of Ripley that are all misshapen and gross and horrible and horrifying and terrible, and how she just needs to burn them all. I did that. And then Ben expresses himself by the number of exclamation points that he uses.
I have another question, Brett, in terms of what you've been up to.
Okay.
So how's your Arby's game been lately?
I don't think I have been to Arby's in weeks now.
What about, like, food joints that you've patroned?
When we went to L.A., hung out with Dale a lot, and...
Oh, man. I don't even want to hear this.
Yeah, I want to hear about, like, your gross McDonald's trip.
I don't think I've had McDonald's in a couple weeks.
BK?
I never eat Burger King. Burger King is the fucking devil. It's such trash.
Arby's is good, but Burger King is trash. Okay.
Yeah, no. Arby's is a decent food. I need some readers to back me up here. Arby's isn't Michelin star. I'll give you that. But if we're going like fast food, I think it's probably healthier than some of the other ones, considering it's like roast beef instead of garbage burger. I mean,
I think my opinion of Arby's is colored by the fact the one in my hometown got shut down for a rodent infestation.
Yeah, you tell that story all the time. What else have I been eating? A little bit of Taco Bell, because I love Taco Bell.
Of course.
They have their new promo item is the grilled stuffed nacho. It's not amazing.
Tell us about the grilled stuffed nacho from Taco Bell.
It's...
Wink.
So the secret behind Taco Bell is that it's just all the same ingredients wrapped a different way.
That's Mexican food, really.
Kind of, yeah. I love Mexican food, though, man. I don't even know what it is. It just has like a cheese sauce and some chip things, and I get it with chicken instead of beef. And it's not amazing. It's not really even worth talking about, but I've eaten it a time or two in the last couple weeks. I was stuck in LAX for a long time last week, and I had a malt from Carl's Jr. When's the last time you guys had a malt? Yeah, you're fucking jealous. Malts are delicious.
I have malts pretty frequently. There's a Sonic right next to my house, and I will have a malt every few weeks.
What flavor malt? I mean, Sonic can do a lot of different flavors. Carl's Jr. is pretty limited.
I like changing it up.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We should talk about video games, because this is a dog shit conversation.
I remembered another video game I've been playing this past week.
It better be good to interrupt the Arby's talk.
I mean, it's a good game. Is that what you're asking about? It's called Orbitalis. It's like a puzzle game.
Of course it is.
About orbiting stars and planets. You're basically in control of this probe, and all you can do is set the launch vector, so the direction and power of its launch. And then from there, it's just under the whims of all of the different gravitational forces in the different systems. And so, you know, stars will pull harder than planets, and you're trying to just keep it from crashing into anything for a certain set amount of time. It does some cool stuff where you eventually find like dual stars, and so that messes with the gravity, and then you find anti-stars, which actually repel instead of attract, which I don't think are real in real life. but it's video games, so it's fun and weird. I'm supposed to be reviewing that. In fact, I was supposed to review it last weekend, but I didn't get around to it. But preliminary podcast listener exclusive review is Orbitalis is pretty good if you like puzzle games.
Wow, that's an edgy opinion you got there, Darren.
I know, I'm not super opinionated on it, I guess. I like it. It's, yeah, good game, whatever. Play it if you want.
I've been playing a good game. It's nobody called asked, Supercharged nobody, Robot. Fuck you, Brett.
Nobody asked you.
It's called Supercharged Robot Volkaiser. It's a shoot-em-up styled after 70s mecha anime and
Voltron
tokusatsu films, like Power Rangers and, yeah, like Voltron and Gundams and stuff. It's fun. It's very like a throwback. It's neat.
I saw a very large Gundam in Tokyo last year.
Jealous. Very jealous.
It was, I was not impressed. Other people were impressed. I just wanted to go inside and get some curry.
So Fallout 4 is coming to PS4. Who's excited? Not me.
It's coming to more systems than that. It's also coming to Xbox One, and it's coming to PC.
And Wii U.
It's not coming to Wii U. Nothing comes to Wii U.
That was a lie.
Yeah, no. It's a easily decipherable lie, because I'm trying to think of like what popular games have been coming to those three platforms and then also Wii U.
Bloodstains. Symphony of the... Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Ritual of the Night.
Ritual of the Night.
Just because they held people hostage and said, give us enough money and we'll publish.
What was it, like $10 million?
No, it was 2.5, I think. It was just 2. I forget now.
That's right. They said give us $500,000 to make this game. Give us an extra $2 million and we'll bring it to that fucking console.
I'm sure, like, the 5 people that have Wii U's will be very happy about that.
I mean, I like my Wii U, but I don't necessarily like playing non-Nintendo exclusives on it. Like, I would rather play those games anywhere else than on Wii U.
Bloodstained actually has some cool-sounding exclusive features for the Wii U, though.
What does it have?
The obvious ones, like the map on the gamepad, but you can draw on the map and so, like, make notes to yourself.
That sounds cool.
Off-screen play, which I like, because we can be watching TV and playing video games at the same time. Oh, there was one other one. You're going to make me look it up, I think. Keep talking about stuff.
Can you do like any combos by like slashing on the gamepad or something?
I doubt it.
You pull out that...
That sounds dumb
anyway. Stylus.
I didn't know that my Wii U gamepad had a stylus until like very recently I found it.
I definitely did not find mine right away, but I did find it soon enough. Oh, wow.
My stylus is missing.
To be fair,
that's concerning.
Maybe I took it. Maybe I learned that Wii U gamepads have styluses. I just started stealing them from everyone, knowing that they don't fucking look.
You've
at
been
them.
To my apartment.
I
this
have.
This could be true.
I've been to everyone's place. I haven't been to Darren's place.
Yeah, I don't count as everybody, apparently.
No.
Have you been to Jordan's place?
No, I haven't.
I haven't been to his new place, but I've been to his old place with... and actually, he didn't live with Conrad. I've been to Conrad's old place.
Ooh, in-game Mii support. So I don't know what exactly that entails, but if you can have your Mii running around a gothic castle killing things...
That sounds more like a joke than... Are you sure you're not reading a joke site? A joke
this
site
is real.
That's full of goofs?
So it doesn't specify what the in-game Mii support is, but it says in-game Mii support. And again, this is also the studio's vision for what the Wii U version will have. So who knows if it'll end up with that. But it says digital and physical copies available, pro controller support, gamepad map with annotations, gamepad off-screen play, Miiverse, social integration, and in-game Mii support.
I'm not convinced that Koji knows what a Mii is.
He probably doesn't. I should make an Iga Mii, though, and have him live in my Tomodachi Life Island.
God,
and then
Darren.
And someone...
Do you still play that?
Yeah, just about every day.
Really?
Yeah. I stopped for a really long time, but then when I got it for Lib, she started playing, and so I started playing, and we send each other...
And you street pass.
We street pass, and we send each other travelers back and forth.
What other really sad things are happening in your life, Darren?
I ate at Subway today.
Oh, no.
What'd you get?
I got a 6-inch Italian BMT.
What kind of bread?
Wheat.
Yeah. You didn't spring for the honey out?
No. When I want like a supposedly savory sandwich, I just want wheat bread, usually. Maybe sourdough.
I like how you said spring as if Subway charges for different breads. Yeah. They just, their oven shits them out, and then you have a 6-inch BMT.
Yeah, and then they stick them in the refrigerator for 6 hours, and then they give you a piece of cold bread with meat on it.
When I was a teen, I briefly worked at Subway, so I know what the bread looks like prior to it turning into the bread. It's basically like a breadstick, and it somehow gets huge.
The magic of yeast, Kyle.
I've baked normal bread, but this Subway bread, it expands in a way that normal bread shouldn't.
Well, does it come frozen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can buy frozen bread like in your grocery store and then come and take it home and it'll bake up the same way. Mm. Be a big old poof.
So you used to work at Subway, but that was over in England, right?
That's true.
So did they call it tube instead?
No, it's like a... Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
I like you again, Darren.
I'm glad.
Was Subway in England any different than like Subway over here in terms of like working their process? Or I guess like menu or anything?
I can't say in terms of their working process because I haven't worked at a U.S. Subway. But the place I was working at was right across the street from Windsor Castle, which is where the Queen lives for half the year. And we got a lot of tourists and a lot of people from India and Pakistan, Sri Lanka, people from the subcontinent. And a lot of them were vegetarian, so the vegetarian options were our bread and butter.
Huh. Interesting. Kyle, what you should do is you should also get a job in the States and then compare the two, like do some investigative journalism.
You could just talk to Connor, right? He works at Subway.
Yeah, but he doesn't like mayonnaise, so I think he's unstable. I don't think he's a worthy reliable source.
So I genuinely don't get how you could eat a Subway sandwich without mayonnaise. Like it'd be so dry. You would have to sit there with a drink and just go back and forth, gulping down some water and then chewing on some stale bread.
So, like, mayonnaise isn't a necessity for me. I can do lots of other dressings or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, sure.
But mayonnaise, I definitely like mayonnaise, and if mayonnaise is available, like, there's a chance I'm going to go with that. I don't find it disgusting to the point where I'll look down on people that eat it, you know? Mm-hmm. He's a lunatic.
It's just oil and egg yolks. Like, it's actually pretty natural. It's just really bad for you.
And delicious.
Oh, yeah, super good. I mean, it's fatty and delicious, and it greases up your sandwich so it can slide down your throat hole easier.
I was just making a sandwich the other day, and I was like, I don't have any mayo. It was fucking awful. What's even the point? A sandwich is really a mayo delivery service.
Oh, no, I can't stand behind that statement.
So Fallout 4 got announced.
I personally don't have much to say about this, so I was kind of expecting Brett to maybe inject some opinions. What do you think about Fallout 4, Brett?
I don't feel like I should have to pull your weight for you, Darren. Why don't you tell me why you don't have feelings about Fallout 4?
I could tell you about how I feel about Fallout 4. I enjoyed Fallout 3 quite a bit, and it kind of ended in a weird way because it kind of forces you into the ending and doesn't let you play afterwards, and I was like, oh, it's over already? I wish I could have done all that more side content. And I bet people went back in to do it and did different things, but I didn't. And that was kind of like me done with Fallout. And another Fallout would have been really exciting. Like, I played New Vegas, too, a little bit. But like a brand new one might have been really exciting. But this wait for it and this excitement and all these fake rumors that popped up and just like all this anticipation, it kind of killed my buzz. And I'm like, okay, there's a new Fallout coming.
A lot of people obviously felt the same way that you did about the ending to Fallout 3, and then I think it was just called the Brotherhood of Steel DLC, or I can't remember, I think that's what it was called. Whatever it was, the third DLC pack removed that, like, forced ending and let you keep playing after the game was over. So that kind of removed that problem. I played a lot of Fallout 3, man. I got full gamer score on 360, I played all of the DLC packs, and I unlocked the last achievement at 92 hours on the dot. So I put almost 100 hours of my life into that one game. And that was 8 years ago, though. That's kind of crazy to think about.
I think what you described there, Brett, is precisely why I have never even tried to play a Fallout game. Because I know I would like it. What I know about the universe and the gameplay and everything, it sounds very cool to me. But for the same reason, I haven't played a Elder Scrolls game. Like, I know that it would just sort of take over my life, and I can't commit to that.
So I'm a little bit worried about that because it was 2008, actually. So it's been 7 years now. 7 years ago, I was at a different place in my life where I could sink 100 hours into a game. And obviously it was over the course of some time. It wasn't like a week straight of playing. But it's tough for me to even have the patience to start a game that's going to be that long just because I know what a time sink it is.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, I'm tentatively excited for Fallout 4, and I only say that because New Vegas fell kind of flat for me, even though a lot of people like New Vegas more than they like Fallout 3. So, well, you know, I'm looking forward to it, I guess.
Vegas seemed like a more interesting game, but it was also, like, the same assets and everything used over again, and, like, right on the heels of it, so it seemed to kind of suffer from that sequelitis, I guess.
You know, I can't even pinpoint what I didn't like about New Vegas. Yeah, I couldn't tell you what it was. Maybe it was just that it was at a different time in my life. And that's the type of game where, depending on what else you have going on, kind of affects how you end up seeing that game. I think it can kind of taint your perception. But yeah, I played, I don't know, 20 hours at New Vegas or something, and I quit like halfway through. It just didn't really work for me.
So between then and now, Bethesda released Skyrim, which I also got really into. And sometimes I get the call to go back to Skyrim. And it seems like spending 10 minutes in Skyrim is the best cure for wanting to play Skyrim. I just, I've done all of this. I've seen every NPC animation. A lot of the stuff in those games gets very repetitive.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell how people are going to react or how a band of enemies is going to move or where they're going to pop up, even though it's randomized. You can kind of see through the game systems, and I feel like Bethesda has this kind of formula to it, and it's kind of dirty and kind of rote at this point, so we know what it is, and I hope this time they change it up and get past that.
You know, I could never really... Skyrim never interested me. Like, Fallout 3 was my Skyrim, because the fantasy setting just never... That's never really something that struck a chord with me. Whereas, like, I'll play something about an apocalyptic wasteland. That's an interesting setting to me. Once you start adding dragons and stuff, I kind of start to tune it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much the same as Brett. I think we've talked about this before, where it takes a really good game to make me interested in a fantasy setting. Like,
The Witcher 3?
Maybe, I don't know. Sure. I'm not going to play that either. but I am more receptive to science fiction, cyberpunk, steampunk, pretty much anything other than high fantasy.
I wonder why that is. What turns you guys off about fantasy?
I think it's just I've seen too much of it at this point. Like, and it's sort of all the same. You read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings, and then you play, you know, whatever Western RPG number 47, and everything up through there it's all the same.
You've seen an elf and a goblin and a halfling. Yeah. Like, it's standard at this point.
Yeah. So
I think I kind of got, like, traumatized, in a sense, away from fantasy, because I think I can pinpoint when it happened. When I was in high school, Lord of the Rings movies were very popular, and I liked those movies. They were good. But then I tried reading The Fellowship of the Ring, and it just... All the names, and it's not like it was difficult to follow. It was just boring as fuck reading all these really long, nerdy names, you know? And it's just like, and I pushed through it way longer than I should have, like way past the point where it interested me. And I eventually gave up maybe like 2/3 of the way through the book. I bought Two Towers and Return of the King also on book. And I'm going to try them all and just...
I had kind of a similar experience to you. I read The Hobbit as a child and really loved it. And I've periodically gone back to it and enjoy it because it's kind of a shorter, more self-contained, more whimsical story. But every time I try to go through Lord of the Rings like I did after reading The Hobbit, and then in the lead up to the movies coming out, I eventually got through all the books, and people kept telling me that the books were way better than the movies. But I'm like, we must have read two differently, completely different things.
I feel like we're gonna make a lot of enemies with this right now, because my experience is pretty much it mirrors Brett's. Actually, it's kind of a mixture of both of yours, because I've read through The Hobbit, enjoyed it, and then started Fellowship and didn't finish it because it was so boring. And everyone tells me, oh, you stopped right before it starts getting good. I'm like, well, maybe it should have gotten good earlier.
I'm not sure if you should read through an entire book before it gets good.
Yeah.
And like they added things from the Two Towers into the Fellowship movie to make that one more exciting. Mm-hmm. Like the death of Boromir happens in the Two Towers.
That happens at the very, very end of the movie, right?
Yeah, but like that big action sequence that like acts as that
final scene.
Yeah, that whole like exciting end of the movie, that the cliffhanger and everything. None of that is in there. It just kind of ends in the book. It's like, okay.
Like, there's no milestone or anything that happens. They're just walking down the road and the book's over.
I think they're like going from the Lothlorien or the Elven Forest, whatever it's called, and heading down that river. They get their gifts. There's a longer gift scene. Pretty much things they cut out of the movies that happens in the books that you don't see in Peter Jackson's films, which I think is a good thing. And people are like, they didn't add Tom Bombadil in. And what about the Barrow Whites? And I'm like, whatever. It's like they cut out so much filler. I say that and people get angry at me. They're like, Tom Bombadil is the most important character. And it's like, I guess.
You need to start hanging out with cool people. Like, I'm also getting angry, but it's because you're saying these names and they're just making me like, there's no reason for me being upset as I am. And you're just like, oh, they left the Elven Forest and then they went and they talked to Tom Bombadil and the Wraithwrights or whatever. I'm like, oh, just, this is my own personal hell right now.
I liked the movies. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought they were fine, but Harry Potter is better.
Oh, Taryn. Really?
Absolutely. I mean,
there was an entire movie of Harry Potter where they just hang out in a tent for the entire film.
That's pretty cool. Tents are cool. No, I don't know, man.
That's my favorite part of Final Fantasy episode Duske.
I think once again you're treading into territory that I and Brett know nothing about.
It's that Final Fantasy 15 demo. It starts out and they're all in the tent, and then like one guy yawns and they're like, come on, get up, Bambi. You must get up.
So there's a scene in Earthbound where they hang out in tents.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's not even so much a scene as it is like you go talk to a dude and then you move past the tents. But
does Earthbound have Coleman branding on the camping equipment?
It has. No. It has
Final
Jeff.
Fantasy 15 does.
It has Jeff, and Jeff is a total dweeb. Whenever I played Jeff, I associated him with Darren, if we're being completely honest here.
Sure. I've said before, I'm more like put myself onto the role of Ness, but looking back now, I'm definitely more of a Jeff.
Jeff's like a scientist.
Yeah. He shoots laser guns and fixes things and makes bottle rockets and doesn't have magic.
I mean, like this past weekend, you went out and you shot lots of laser guns. You went to the laser gun range and you and the other laser gun shooters just shot your laser guns. Mm-hmm. Great.
Oh, he's the blonde one with the fogged over glasses.
Yeah.
He's the uber nerd, and that's what Darren is also.
And he has a bubblegum monkey that follows him around sometimes.
I mean,
and he rides on the Loch Ness Monster.
And he either has pimples or freckles.
I think they're freckles. I always thought they were freckles.
And that is actually something that I have, so we can make that connection. Yeah, I'm Jeff.
Do you want us to just start calling you Jeff?
No, I don't like that name very much.
You should change your title on the website just to Jeff.
No other context.
Yeah, no other context. Just Darren Nakamura. Jeff.
good Fallout 4 discussion, guys.
Yeah, we just started talking about Lord of the Rings, and we didn't even talk. Yeah, we hardly talked about Fallout. One of the interesting things about Fallout was
going into grocery stores and then just having massive shootouts, picking up all the cans.
No.
And you get your vats, and you slow it down, and take out their head, and it, like, explodes out the back.
Let the man speak.
So one of the things about... So I'm going on a tangent here. One of the things about Fallout 3 that really kind of blew me away was the fact that 92 hours of it, I never got sick of using VATS and watching people's heads explode.
Is amazing.
It was constantly impressive and cool to watch. Like, you would think it would just become just, like, dull because you saw it, like, literally 1,000 times. Nope. Blowing up one super mutant, just as cool as blowing up 1,000.
VATS is the best.
VATS is fucking sweet, man. I hope VATS is in, was VATS in, like, Fallout 2? No, probably not, huh?
No.
Yeah, because that was a completely different type of game.
Yeah.
So that was, like, exclusive, or that was new to Fallout 3. I hope they keep it for Fallout. Yeah, exclusive, isn't that?
I remember when Fallout 3 was not yet out. I think I was at a PAX and they were showing it off, and people were upset that Fallout 3 was taking the first-person perspective, and they didn't like the way VATS looked, and they're like, this should be like Fallout 2, but it's different.
I played a lot of Fallout 3 in the third person.
Did you?
I mean, it's still not the same as Fallout 1 and Fallout 2, were like
basically
overhead isometric views.
I was going to say, I was pretty sure that's what those were, but I wasn't 100% positive.
For some reason, I don't, if I have the option of seeing my character versus being in the first person, I will generally skew towards, you know, seeing my character and being able to see, like, the armor that I'm wearing and stuff.
I played the entirety of that game in first person view, so we're completely opposite there.
I don't see the point of having an RPG and, like, you know, wearing my stuff and not being able to see it. Am I supposed to, like, imagine that I'm wearing, like, a hide with, like, wolf skin on it or whatever?
Well, see, I feel like it's the opposite, where if you're playing an RPG, like, you want to be in that role, and seeing some spiky-haired, effeminate dude wearing, you know, some ridiculous outfit does not help you get in that role.
Darren, after Kyle got his haircut, he's become a spiky-haired, effeminate dude.
Okay, fair enough.
But he's on fleek, so it's all right.
It is spiky. It is. It's short enough that it can stand on end.
Anyway, I was going to say that, like, last year, I think it was last year, I remember reporting on a Fallout 4 trademark that had to do with Boston, and it was just quickly denounced by Bethesda, saying, nope, that's fake, we didn't do that, we don't know who did it. And it was just like, okay, Bethesda didn't do it. Looking back, that was probably totally their trademark.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know why the press was so quick to believe that they wouldn't just lie about that, you know?
Like, Nintendo recently came out and was like, there's no truth to this rumor that the NX project runs on Android.
Oh, well, come on. We know right off the bat there's no truth to that rumor.
But it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, but
They just come out and they're like, nope.
Do you know, what, like, is the last thing I can see Nintendo doing? Taking their console to, like, an open source platform. And I realize it doesn't have to be. They can still keep all their constraints and everything, but doesn't that just seem like something Nintendo would build internally?
You would think.
It just seems like something they would want complete control over. Because,
like, Nintendo doesn't even want you doing voice chat in Splatoon, so...
Well, we don't even really know what the deal with NX is. Like, if it's meant to be something smaller that, you know, you play touch games on or whatever, then maybe Android would make sense in some respects. But it comes back to Android is not Nintendo. Like, it's so against what they do that it just doesn't make sense.
They're coming to mobile, though.
Yeah, which I think if you had asked me, you know, 10 years ago, I would say that doesn't make sense either.
You know, I think I would say that they would eventually do it just because, like, 10 years ago, I didn't know what a big thing mobile would be. I probably still didn't know what a big thing mobile would be 5 years ago, but the way that it's blown up, even a company like Nintendo, I could envision them doing mobile stuff. Running their new console, like, kind of, you know, like basically half of their bread and butter off of an Android framework, I don't see that, ever.
I recall my roommate in college getting the first generation iPhone, and I half thought he was an asshole, like a rich asshole, and I was half really jealous and was like, this is the future. I had, like, a Motorola Razr.
Motorola Razr, your phone probably would still work. That was an amazing phone.
It was. In comparison to the iPhone then, it was like, I had the old generation, I might as well have had a like a Nokia brick phone.
Those also worked forever.
I bet you could buy a Nokia brick phone today and it would be great.
I don't know about that. I use my phone for lots of non-phone purposes and very few actual phone purposes. Hey, so
a Nokia has a calculator on it. It has Snake.
Snapchat? Tinder?
No Tinder.
No Tinder. You got anything to add, Jeff?
I'm just silently shaking my head right now.
What would your wife do if she found Tinder installed on your phone, Darren?
I mean, she'd probably be pretty mad.
If we set Darren up on Tinder?
His account profile just says, "I'm basically Jeff from Earthbound." That's all his profile says.
I bet I'd get some matches with that profile.
Yeah, you live in Mississippi. I bet you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We should probably get to, like, a point where we're talking about, "Oh, well, so, good podcast, guys. Great talking."
What's your favorite Jane Austen novel?
God damn it.
Pride and Prejudice, Sense and Sensibility.
I've never read a Jane Austen novel.
Really?
Really.
Good.
Okay.
Well, guys, another successful podcast.
That was a great one!
Holy shit, we should pat ourselves on the back for that.
Say something.
I'm a kid now.
Brett, say something.
I'm a squid now.
I don't know why I didn't see that coming, but Kyle, you need to up your gain a little bit.
I'm a squid now.
I'm a kid now?
Okay, sounds good.
I'm a squid now.
We're good.
I'm a kid now.
Stop. I'm a kid now. I'm a motherfucking squid now. All right, let's get this show back on the road.
Wait, hang on. Before we do, is there anything else?
Amiibo?
What about Amiibo?
They released?
Okay. You can talk about it if you want.
You're like a dad letting me have a sleepover. You're just like, fucking whatever. Just, I don't care.
Ask your mom.